Magnify the Lord. The Song of Mary, Part 1. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord. Luke 1:46. Oh, what glorious words were sung in the heart of little Mary that glorious day. No wonder her heart sang. No wonder her soul magnified the Lord her God. The gate into the garden where Adam walked with God had been slammed. Yet at the closed, guarded gate of Eden, a wonderful promise had been given. A Saviour would be sent. And that one would be the seed of the woman. And down through the long years, each young woman dared to hope that she, oh, that she might be the favoured one through whom the Saviour would be born. Young hearts must have burned with expectant hope with each newborn babe. Years came and years went. Centuries passed and generations of disappointed hearts saw their hopes fade. And to some it must have become a whisper of a forgotten hope, a myth of yore. To the many, the glorious promise had reduced to an almost forgotten dream. To the few, it was expected, anticipated. To the small, tiny, declining remnant alone, that hope remained truly alive. Oh, how much like those waned, failed hopes of believers in this day and age. How similar to the way the promises of his return have been dismissed today. Faded like the morning mist, evaporated like a dry, dusty desert puddle. How indistinguishable from the apathetic body that awaits Christ's glorious appearing. How lost, forgotten, and misunderstood is the truth of his soon and mysterious return. How insignificant, misrepresented, twisted, and ignored is the return of our sweet Lord Jesus. How sad that his return for his precious chaste virgin has become so meaningless. How blinded are the eyes of believers who focus on the unreality of today, at the expense of securing his promise in their hearts, instead of his anticipated arrival and our wise spiritual preparation. Oh, hope deferred makes the heart sick, we read in Proverbs 13. A delayed expectation can cause the strongest believer to question his hope. Well, God's ways are so dissimilar from our own foolish ways. God's thoughts and plans far outreach our own harebrained ideas. God should do this and he should do that, for best effect, we stupidly argue. Oh, if I were God, I would do it this way. If I were him, I wouldn't allow such and such to happen in my life or the life of others. Oh, you harebrained man, you stupid woman. Oh, do you really think that you know better than Almighty God how to achieve his plans and purposes? Plans and purposes foreordained from before the world. Plans purposed and plans foreordained from before the time the worlds came to be. All he asks is that we trust him in all things. Put our total faith in him, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. 2,000 years ago, the perception was that the seed would come via a married woman. Oh, but no, God's ways are different, despite the clear description in Isaiah 53. So at length, in hushed astonishment and awestruck amazement and reverential fear, at length one day, a heavenly messenger came to this lowly Nazarite maiden. At length, in the cold, rude surroundings of her plain, lowly abode, an angel appeared with tidings of great joy. Oh, can you imagine the pain and confusion this must have caused in her little town? Not just before the birth, but throughout her married life, and right until her dying day. But God's ways are not our ways, and this little girl in faith accepted his will. But few were watching, and few saw, and even fewer understood. And all his life he was considered a bastard, and all his life his parents were mocked. Oh, yes, Mary the Virgin was given the honour of all honours among women. No wonder at the announcement little Mary proclaimed, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Mary the Virgin was indeed given the honour of all honours among all women, just as the bride of the Lord is given similar honour among the ranks of the faithful. But how few recognize and trust in the hope of their salvation, because he didn't do things the way that they expected. Oh, Jesus came at his appointed time through the womb of a virgin the first time. And Jesus will come at his appointed time in the clouds for his bride the second time. But how few, how very few recognize this and continue to rejoice in hope, because the circumstances of life are not what we think God should be doing. Oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said in his word, all that has been written in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Oh, Jesus questioned, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Jesus also said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Oh, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life.